Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. This program, the content of this program, are for those of the papacy and the Gentiles. This is it. God, who has been called by the papacy, has introduced the glorious law of God in the previous installment. He will continue to disclose the glorious law to the Gentiles in this episode. Questions of interest, Genesis 37:8. Shalt thou indeed reign over us, the Gentiles, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? Luke 10:26. What is written in the law? Statements of concern. 1 Samuel 23:11/Acts 16:9. Haste thee and come and help us, the Gentiles. Genesis 42:15. Hereby ye shall be proved. Hear the official reading of the precise, the glorious, and most eloquent law of God. This is the law that all Gentiles everywhere, including those of the papal office, must conform to during God's lifetime here on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a law whose time has come. This is prime time mainstream information. This is it. This is it. The time of the reading of the glorious law of God. And we continue now with this. By way of reminder, the term Armageddon contained two secret Vatican statements concerning God Almighty. They are, one, a damned doer, that is an iniquitous statement. The papacy has blasphemed God. The papacy has committed insubordination and blasphemy. The second statement says, an armed God. This statement also comes out of the term Armageddon. In that statement, the papacy alleges God to be armed, as in dangerous and armed. But what is God armed with? God is armed with intellect and authority. Authority given to him by the papacy, as Acts 26:10 has said. And that statement says, having received authority from the chief priests, those of the papacy. God is armed with intellect and authority, and that authority has come from the chief priests. And that is a reference to those of the papacy, especially those of the papacy who were involved and concerned with the writing of the crucial matter of the Authorized Version Bible, also called AVB, Authorized Version Bible. As for the battle of that great day during the lifetime of God, I have before noted the battle was an intellectual battle that was fought out in the mind of God. The battle concerned itself with the heart of the papacy and the intellect of God. The battle was not waged to win the God title, but rather to prove God, for God must be true. That is to say, having all the basic characteristics of such. Those things lead to these insightful statements. One, the papacy in the AVB has predetermined what would take place in the mind of God, and two, he who is witness to that which has taken place in the mind of God is God. And three, I am a witness to that which has taken place in the mind of God. So the battle of that great day was waged in order to prove God. The proving ground was the mind of God. As for the Armageddon turn, in it God has found two underhanded Vatican statements concerning God. So, God is proved. In Genesis 42:15, the papacy says to me, "Hereby ye shall be proved." Therefore, the papacy tested God's ability. They gave him their laborious writ on all things. God has performed the papacy's laborious writ on all things. The papacy has put forth the following statement concerning God. Mark 7:37. And I will turn to that. Mark 7:37 says, "He hath done all things well." He, God, has done all things well. The papacy's abstruse, intellectually demanding, laborious writ on all things can be seen and read line by line in God's book titled The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. It is required reading. It is required knowledge for all Gentiles. What do we have so far? We have knowledge of the term Armageddon. We have knowledge of the battle that has taken place in the mind of God. And we have knowledge concerning the proof of God as relates to the proof of God. I have on previous broadcasts set forth the clues concerning God, the characteristics, the expectations of God, and of course those things can be seen in my book, The Book of the Law of God, All Things to Demonstrate the Power of God. God has been proved. And God's work, in fact, has been acknowledged by the papacy in the statement, "He, God, hath done all things well." Now we get to the call of God. We have spoken of the proof of God. We now get to the call of God. Philippians 3:14. And I am turning to that. Philippians 3:14. We find these words. "I press to the mark for the prize of the call of God in Christ Jesus." The crucial statement is the high calling of God. The high call of God. Philippians 3:14. That was Philippians 3:14. Okay. We have a statement that says, "You see your calling." And let me get the reference for that if I can. That's 1 Corinthians 1:26, and this is talking. The statement is speaking to God. The papacy is speaking to God. 1 Corinthians 1:26, and it says, "For you see your calling." That's the crucial content in that statement. You see your calling, and I see my calling in, I have seen my calling in the Authorized Version Bible, the AVB, commonly called or also called King James Version. I have seen my calling, and I understand my calling, the call of God by the papacy. One, as relates to the call of God, who has put forth the call? Of course, the papacy has put forth or published the call. The call is published in the AVB. I have taken that call and put it together where it can be read line by line. Where has the papacy placed the call? The papacy has placed the call in the AVB. Who has the papacy called? The object of the papacy's call is found in Acts 17:23. I turn to that, Acts 17:23. And that statement says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Now, that is the crucial part in that statement, or rather, Acts 17:23, to the unknown God. God is the object of the papacy's call. In the papacy's call to God, what have they said to God? These are the words the papacy has said to God in the call. And I will give those references maybe at a later date, possibly next week. But the call reads as follows. Here is the citation of the call. To the unknown God, hear my voice. Of course, the papacy is speaking to God in this call. To the unknown God, hear my, the papacy's voice. What is thy name? We desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. Come thou and reign over us. Haste thee and come and help us, the Gentiles. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the papacy's call to God. That is the papacy's call for God. That is the papacy's call intended to be received by God. God has received the papacy's call. I have received the papacy's call. Point. God is not an invader. God is not a demagogue. God is one who has been called by the papacy. Hear the papacy's words in Judges 9:7. Judges 9:7. Let's see here. I can read it from my script here, but I want to actually turn to these statements. And in turning, I also verify the citation. The papacy's words in Judges 9:7 says these things, or this thing. It's found, the crucial statement is the last statement in Judges 9:7, the very last statement, which says, God may hearken unto you. God may hearken to you. That is a statement of permission. God may hearken to the papacy's call and to the papacy's will. God is permitted by the Vatican to hearken to their call, to their will, as it pleases God. What that statement means is this: God is permitted of the papacy to hear the papacy's voice on any and all of the crucial Vatican issues in the AVB. So the papacy has permitted God to hear, the papacy has requested God hear, and God has granted the papacy's request. So with respect to the papacy's call for God to hear and come, what has come to pass? Answer, 1 Chronicles 4:10 has come to pass. 1 Chronicles 4:10. Okay, again, I am turning 1 Chronicles 4:10. And we find these words in the very last statement of 1 Chronicles 4:10. And that statement says, this is the crucial statement, it says, and God granted him that which he requested. I have said that it is the papacy that is doing the requesting. So God has granted the papacy that which the papacy has requested. Okay, that is a statement that has come to pass. God has answered the papacy's call. God has granted the papacy that which they have requested from him or of him. Point. God is fulfilling scripture, and you, the hearers of these words, are witnesses. You are become witnesses to the fulfillment of scripture. That's a very important thing, because these are very important things that are coming to pass as relates to the crucial matter of Bible content, as relates to prophetic statements in the AVB. Very important and crucial statements. The papacy petitions God to come forth. The papacy has called God. God has hearkened. Now the papacy petitions God to come forth. They petition God in Psalm 94, verse 1. And of course, I am turning to that. Psalm 94, verse 1 reads, but these are the words to God. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. That's a direct statement. O God, they are talking to God. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Reveal thyself. Manifest thyself. Come forth. Okay? Also, we have a statement in Matthew 8, 4. Matthew 8, 4. Okay, and we find these words. Matthew 8, 4. The full statement says, and Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. These are the crucial things in that statement. All right? We know everything is not crucial because we know Jesus, the character Jesus, in the authorized version of the Bible, is character. So what is real statement? These words are real. The Vatican instructs God to go his way and show himself to the priest. It says, go thy way, show thyself to the priest. Go thy way. God is instructed to go his way. And his ways can be seen, or his way can be seen, in these broadcasts of the law of God. You can see his way, or portions, parts of his ways. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest. Okay, in Psalm 94, they told God to show himself. Here they're saying, show thyself to the priest. They take it a little bit farther. Show thyself to the priest. Now, the Pope is a priest. Okay? The Pope sits in the papal office. All right? Show thyself to the priest. Show thyself to the Pope. Show thyself to those of the papacy. Okay. Then we have a statement in John 7:4 relating to this same matter. John 7:4. Let's see here. John 7:4. The full statement reads, for there is no man. I have told you before, no man in the Authorized Version Bible is the papacy's secret name for God. No man is the papacy's secret name for God. Okay? In the Authorized Version Bible, God is referred to as no man. God is called no man throughout Bible content. And God has seen that. God has realized that. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. He himself seeketh to be known openly. Listen to it. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. So we have a progression going there. First, we read in Psalms 94:1, show thyself. Then we read in the Matthew statement, 8:4, show thyself to the priest. Now we read in John 7:4, show thyself to the world. A progression. Show thyself to the priest, show thyself to the world. And that is exactly what I'm doing. That is exactly what I am doing. Okay? Now, so, God is fulfilling Scripture. God is carrying out Scripture. And these things are clear. These things that I speak are plain, easy to understand. They are obvious. Okay? You follow. You listen to what I... what I put forth, what I put out. All right? So, if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. If thou things in the papacy's intellectually demanding writ on all things, show thyself to the world. And as I've said, the writ, the papacy's laborious writ can be seen and read line by line in the book of God, in my book called The Book of the Law of God, All Things the Demonstrated Power of God. Okay. All right. But there's another statement in this John 7 statement. He himself seeketh to be known. I'm carrying that out right now. I am divulging things concerning myself. I am divulging things concerning God, concerning myself. The papacy in the Authorized Version Bible calls me God. Okay? And as evidence of that, I do the things that they say. They said in Psalm 94:1, they said, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. They are talking to God. I am carrying out, I am fulfilling these Bible statements, these papal statements, these the things the papacy demands of God are doable things. They are things that one can do. Okay? And that is evident in my teaching. One goes back and read and hears, listen to all the archives. You'll see that I do that which the papacy speaks to God and tells him to do. Okay? Only God can do the things that the papacy requires of God. Whosoever does those things that the papacy requires of God, that is God. It's a simple thing. Very simple thing. Very understandable thing. A very clear thing. Okay? All right. So let's move on. So there are two things in that statement that are being done. I am seeking to be known openly. I'm seeking openly to be known. I'm putting myself out there, if you will. I'm putting God out there. I am manifesting God. That's actually what is going on. And that's who they want to, that's who they want to know. Okay? In the call, they ask God, what is your name? Okay? And, of course, I will give that name. That name is to be added. My name is to be added to the call. Remember when they said from the book of Acts, to the unknown God? And then they asked him, what is your name? Okay? And then they give him instructions. I read that in the short call, you know, minutes ago, early on in the program. So here again, I say to the people, listen carefully to what I say. Don't add to what I say. Don't take away from what I say. And when you quote me, when you speak of what I say or what I have said, make sure you say exactly what I have said. Okay? I am following Bible instructions. And that's a beautiful thing. That is a great and wonderful thing. Fulfillment of papal statements, fulfillment of prophetic statements in the Bible. That is, the Bible says that is a great thing. Okay? And knowledge is better than ignorance. Okay? All right? I say to you all, isn't that what I am doing even now as I speak? God is revealing himself to the papal office and to all Gentiles everywhere. Again, the papacy has asked God to do a specific thing. God has heard the request, and God has granted the papacy that which it has requested. The request in Psalm 94:1, John 7:4, and the statement that I read in Matthew is fulfilled. God has come forth. In these things, there is a principle at work, and that principle is found in Matthew 7:7. And that statement says, that principle says, I'll read the full statement and point out that which is pertinent right now. Ask and it shall be given you. Let me say this as I read it. The papacy has asked God to reveal himself, show himself, manifest himself. I'm doing that. All right? Ask and it shall, I'm giving the papacy what they have asked. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I have searched out the content of the Authorized Version Bible. I have searched it out. I have analyzed it. It has taken me years to do, but I'm glad to say I have accomplished my purpose. Okay? I have found out truth of Bible content. That is a very needed thing because those of the Vatican and the Gentiles have fooled so many non-Gentile people. They have fooled, tricked, deceived so many non-Gentile people. And truth is a very needed thing. Truth of Bible content is a very needed thing. Ask, and it shall be given you. The papacy has asked or is asking certain things that I'm pointing out in this program, and God is giving those things to the papacy. Okay? So the principle at work here that I speak of is a statement, ask, and it shall be given you. The papacy has asked, and God has given. The papacy has asked for the knowledge of God in the question, who art thou, who are you? And God has come forth. The Vatican shall make known the works of God. The papacy shall make good its promises to God. These things show that I am in compliance with the Vatican's crucial matter found in the AZB. The call, etc., that I have dealt with in this broadcast show that I am in compliance. I'm doing the things they ask. Even such simple things as, what is your name? I provide my name to the papacy. A very small thing. What is your name? To the unknown God, what is your name? Okay? Then God becomes known. What have I done? I have put a face to the unknown God. I have put a name to the unknown God. I have put a body to the unknown God. God, the unknown God, has now become a knowable personality. Isn't that something? A knowable personality. The name of God has been and is being provided or being given. Ask, and it shall be given. What is your name? And God gives his name. Okay. These are not light and transient things. Things being brought forth on this program are things of great moment. And the papacy and all other Gentiles are to regard them as such. The issue of God is not a light and transient matter. The glorious law of which we now turn our attention to, is not a light and transient thing. After these announcements, I will return and we'll proceed with the reading of the glorious law of God. Announcements. Do visit my page, Lawmaster's page. On there, you'll find in the center column two links. Click on the links. The links are, one, the YouTube link, and the other is the PayPal link from which you can order, or you can obtain a copy of the book of God, the book of the law of God, all things the demonstrated power of God. Click on the YouTube link and visit my YouTube presentation. Work the links. Work the links. Okay? Do that. Very important things. As I was saying before, these things that I'm bringing forth, they are very important things. They are crucial things. They are crucial things. And the world needs the truth of the matter. The world needs the truth of Bible content. And God is coming and has come with truth of the content, the crucial content of the AVB, Authorized Version Bible, also called King James Version. So, I've said before, the time that we are living in is with the time of God, the time of the life of God here on earth, where no man is, no man being the papacy's secret name for God in the AZB. I also ask you to tell someone about the program. Tell someone, tell your family members, tell your friends, tell your enemies. Tell people about the program. Invite them to tune in to the program. Next Sunday, I hope to be back on, and I do believe the time will be 10 o'clock, being the first Sunday of the month of July. And we're going to speak about, I may ask a question and answer that question next week on the broadcast. But I may ask the question so that you can, if you don't already know the answer to it, you can look up the answer, and we share the answer on next Sunday's broadcast. And that is this. What passage is a tribute to God in the Bible? What passage in the Bible that serves as a tribute to God, the papacy's tribute, the papacy's official tribute to God? What is that passage? Have it ready for next week's, have your answer ready for next week's program. I will share the answer, and you can match your answer with God's answer. It's going to be very good. I'm very excited just to think of next week's program, as I am excited about today's program. This is what we started with, the statement that we are going to hear the glorious law of God. I said that on the very first program, my very first program, not on Truth Will Out, but on my very first program, Lawmaster's very first program on Blog Talk Radio. I said we are heading to the law of God, but I wanted to give preliminary information. Well, on this 15th program, the glorious law of God will be read. We can read it together. We can look at it together. I'm very excited for that. All right, and we're getting ready to return to the main matter, the main meat of the program. So, let's get back with it. But don't forget to work the links. work the links, the YouTube link found center column, Lawmasters page, and the other link, the PayPal link, from which you can obtain a copy of God's book titled The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. Work the links. Okay, now, for the reading of the glorious law of God, turn to Revelation 17:17 and find also Luke 21, verse 22. I am turning Revelation 17:17. Okay, and we find these words. The words, this is found in the very last statement of Revelation 17:17, the very last statement. And that statement says, the words of God shall be fulfilled. Luke 21:22. We find these words, 21:22, and it is found in the last statement of that verse, Luke 21:22. All things which are written may be fulfilled. Now let's put those two statements together, the statement Luke 21:22 and Revelation 17:17, starting first with the Revelation statement. The words of God shall be fulfilled, all things which are written may be fulfilled. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the glorious law of God. It's not long, is it? It's concise. It's precise. It is the glorious law of God. The words of God shall be fulfilled, all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now, of course, there is other matter under that law, but the law itself is found in those two statements, the glorious law of God. Okay, now, under the law of God, let me say this. The law of God is just what we just read. Now, there are other things that have to do with the law of God. There are commandments, statutes, okay? There are, let me bring this question forth right now. One of the questions of interest on today's program is, what is written in the law? What is written in the law? The word in there, I-N, means relating to. What is written relating to the law? We read the law. Now the question is, what is written relating to the law? All right. Let me answer that question. These things are written in the law. These things are written having a relationship to the law, being related to the law. One, we have the expectations of God. I have read those expectations concerning God on this show in a previous broadcast, the expectations of God. The expectations of God are written in the law. Two, the promises of God are written in the law. The promises of God are related to the law of God. Okay? Three, the signs, the undeniable signs of the presence of God on earth where no man is. That's another part or component of the law. That's another thing that is related to the law. The undeniable signs of the presence of God are written in the law. They are written being related to the law of God. Three things there. Okay? Also, as I said, there are commandments, there are instructions, etc., that are written in the law, that are written being related to the glorious law of God, which I read a few moments ago. And I hope you read them. Or if you're where you cannot read them now, that you will look them up and read them later. And those two statements, again, are Revelation 17, 17 and Luke 21, 22. The last statement in each of those verses, the very last statement. Okay, so now we have heard the glorious law of God. Also, I have given other matter or other things that are related to the glorious law of God, the signs of God, the promises concerning God, the expectations concerning God, etc. Okay? The glorious law of God. Okay, next. Now we have this statement. This statement here is a precautionary determination. A precautionary determination. That precautionary determination is found in Psalm 62:11. This is written in the law. This is written having a relation to the law. Psalm 62, verse 7. No, 62 what? Let's see here. 62 verse 11. Now again, the crucial statement here is the very last statement in the verse. Psalm 62:11, the very last statement says, power belongeth to God. When I wrote this up, I struck through unto, and I put just the word to, T-O. So I'll read it as I have written it. Power belongs to God. That's a precautionary determination. Who has given that precautionary determination? The papacy has. Power belongeth unto God. Now, let's relate that to the glorious law of God. The glorious law of God says, the words of God shall be fulfilled. The words concerning God, the word concerning God. This is a statement, Psalm 62:11, the very last statement in the verse, concerns God. It has to do with God. Power belongs to God. Okay? And it's related to the law of God, the glorious law of God. And it is a precautionary determination. The papacy has determined that power belongs to God. Okay? Now, there's a statement in the book of Acts that says this. This man is the great power of God. Let's look closely at it. This man is the great power of. Now, what does the word of there mean? That's a very important term, a preposition. It means there having the designation of. So let's apply that definition. This man is the great power having the designation of God. What man? What man is the papacy speaking of? The man that they call God, as in Psalm 94:11, O God, show thyself. And so God is not something up in the sky. The papacy is not talking to something that, you know, we say is up in the sky somewhere. They're talking to a live personality. A live personality. Only a live personality can answer the call, the papacy's call. Okay? Only a live personality can do the things that the papacy demands God to do, or demands of God. Only a real, true-to-life personality can do these things. I am doing these things, and let's get back. Psalm 62:11, the very last statement, power belongs to God. That is, again, a precautionary determination. It's already determined that God, that power belongs to God, and those of the papacy are to see that that statement is fulfilled. Now let's look back at the glorious law of God, which says the words of God, the words concerning God, shall be fulfilled. The papacy and the Gentiles are to see that that statement becomes a reality in God, the one they call God. Okay? Power belongs to God. All right? A precautionary determination. Next, we have a standard in the kingdom of God. That standard is found in Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:7. Okay? And we find these words. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That's the statement of interest there. That's the statement, the crucial statement. God is not mocked. Someone could say, okay, lawmaster, they're fooling you. The scripture says God is not mocked. Now, how does that statement relate to the glorious law of God? The glorious law of God says all things written may be fulfilled. The words of God shall be fulfilled. God is not mocked. The papacy and the Gentiles are to see to it that that statement becomes a reality. And God is not mocked. Okay? God is not mocked is a component under the glorious law of God, or it is a component of the glorious law of God. All things written may be fulfilled. That is a statement which can be fulfilled. God is not mocked. The papacy must come forth, acknowledge God in me, and do the things that Scripture demands them to do for God, okay? And the Gentiles as well are to do the same thing. All Gentiles are under the law of the glorious law of God. All Gentiles everywhere are under the glorious law of God. Okay? So we have that is a standard in the kingdom of God. God is not mocked. Throughout the kingdom of God, as long as the kingdom of God endures, the standard is God is not mocked. Now, one of the definitions of mock is to deceive. Actually, that's what it boils down to deceive. To lead on and deceive. Or to lead on and disappoint. to lead on and disappoint. The Vatican, those are the papal office, are to see to it that God is not just led on and disappointed. They call me God. They are to ensure that I am not just led on and disappointed. They are to acknowledge the things that I say, or to acknowledge the very things that they have said, because what it is, they are the ones, those of the papal office, of course they are long dead now, but their word, you know, still speaks, okay? They are to make sure that that this statement also is fulfilled. God is not mocked. And that's how that statement relates to the glorious law of God. It is to be fulfilled. It is to be an actuality. It is to be a real thing that I am not just led on and what? Disappointed. Because what? They did not do what they're supposed to do. Those are the Vatican. Those are the papal office. They are to do what they are supposed to do, just as God does the things he is supposed to do. The Bible has two things, things that God is supposed to do and things that those of the papal office, the papacy, the Pope is supposed to do, and things the Gentiles are supposed to do. I see we are getting close to the end of the screening here. Let me see. This has been a very informative program, and I think all my programs are informative, okay? We have 2 minutes remaining for the screening, so let's move on. Power belongs to God. God is not mocked. Those are components of the glorious law of God. Okay? Now we have, I want to present a commandment to the Gentiles, including those of the papal office. And that commandment is found in Genesis 41:55. Let me say here that I will continue with the lecture after the screening stops. The guest call-in number is 1-718-664-6262. The guest call-in number is 1-718-664-6262. Call in. All right. Very informative program. And the law of God has been read. The call of God has been read. We have covered a lot of ground today. I'm trying to see if we have any callers. Okay, but call in. The guest call-in number again is 1-718-664-6262. You may have a question. You may have a constructive statement that you want to say or give. Call in 1-718-664-6262. All right. And we continue here with the information. Genesis 41:55, and also as you get that, get John 2:5. Genesis 41:55 and John 2:5. Also, there is Genesis 31:16. I begin with Genesis 41:55. Whatsoever he, God, saith to you, do. That's a commandment to all Gentiles everywhere. Whatsoever he, God, saith to you, do. Okay? The second statement, John 2, verse 5, whatsoever he, God, saith to you, do it. So that's a repetition, isn't it? That's a repeat of the first thing said. Let me read both of them. Whatsoever he, God, saith to you, do. Whatsoever he, God, saith to you, do it. And then the third statement, Genesis 31, verse 16, whatsoever God hath said to thee, do. Let me read that again. Genesis 31, 16. Whatsoever God hath said to thee, do. Now I will read all three statements. Whatsoever he saith to you, do. Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. Whatsoever God hath said to thee, do. It's clear. The law says to the Gentiles, whatsoever God says to you, do. Whatsoever God has said to you, do. Okay? Isn't that something? Do. Period. The Gentiles are subordinate to God. The Gentiles are subordinate to the law of God. All right? All right. Don't forget to work the links, the YouTube link, the PayPal link, found center column, Lawmasters page. Work the links. And we're going to continue here. I'm just at the computer and checking on things. So bear with me. Bear with me. Okay. So we've looked at the glorious law of God. We've looked at a precautionary determination. We've looked at the commandment to the Gentiles, including those of the papacy. We have looked at the call of God. And other things as well. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right, let me get on with the lecture. I was trying to see. I don't see where we have any callers here. Just checking. Let's see if this will work here. Okay, let me read on. Next we have the Gentiles faith-wise, with regard to the Gentiles. Get back to my outline. Attitude of the Gentiles. Let's look at Acts 24:14. Acts 24:14. we find these words. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Now here is the crucial statement. The Gentiles, including those of the papacy, should be believing all things which are written in the law. Okay? All things which are written in the law. And what does "in" mean there? As far as we are concerned today, it means all things having to do with all things being related to the law, believing all things which are written, having a relation to the law. Okay, such as the promises of God, the undeniable signs of the presence of God, the expectations of God, etc. All of these are components of the law, and the Gentiles are to be believing all things. Okay? All right, all things belonging to the law. There is also Acts 21:25. We find these words. I'll read the entire statement. No, I won't. I'll just read the first statement in Acts 21:25. And that statement says, as touching the Gentiles which believe. As touching the Gentiles which believe. Believe what? All things written in the law. Okay? Now, what does the glorious law say? The glorious law says, the words of God shall be fulfilled, all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now, that all things which are written may be fulfilled can also serves as a permit. Those of the papacy and all of the Gentiles are permitted, okay, to fulfill the glorious law of God. That is Revelation 17:17, which says the words of God shall be fulfilled. So the Gentiles and those of the papacy are permitted. That's a part of the law. They are permitted to fulfill all things which are written in the law relating to the law. So the Gentiles are to be believing, as touching the Gentiles which believe. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 2, because there's a statement that has to do with the Gentiles believing. Okay, now that God has come, the word of God is out, getting out among the Gentiles. Acts 11:1 says this. It's the very last statement in Acts 11:1. It says, the Gentiles had also received the word of God. I know there are some Gentiles who are listening to me right now. Okay? The Gentiles had received the word of God. Romans 2, verse 14, reads as follows. For when the Gentiles which have not the law. Okay, now that statement no longer stands. The Gentiles now, through the work of God, even on this program, the Gentiles have the law of God. Okay? The Gentiles have. The Gentiles are required to receive the word of God, Acts 11:1. The Gentiles had also received the word of God. The Gentiles are to fulfill that statement by receiving the word from God, by receiving the very words that you are hearing on this program. The words of God shall be fulfilled. Acts 11:1, that last statement, the Gentiles had also received the word of God, has to do with God. Okay? The words concerning God shall be fulfilled. Acts 11:1, the last statement, which I just read, has to do with God. Okay, now in Romans 2:14, the Gentiles which have not the law, that no longer stands. The Gentiles have the law. I read that law today. Okay? The law is out there. I read it today. Now let me read that statement doesn't stand. Let me read continue reading the statement. Do by nature the things contained in the law. There we go again. The Gentiles are required to fulfill the words concerning God. Okay, here we have do by nature, do naturally the things contained in the law. Okay, and I have read some things that are contained in the law, contained as a component of the law, component part of the law. Okay, now let me just read the full statement. For when the Gentiles, and I'll say this, which now have the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. Okay? So the last statement and the first statement, in Romans 2, verse 14, no longer stand. All right? You need to make note of that. You need to remember that. The first statement, when the Gentiles which have not the law, that does no longer stand. And the very last statement, having not the law, that no longer stands. All right. This statement in Acts 11:1 stands. The Gentiles had also received the word of God. The Gentiles are to fulfill the word of God. They are to fulfill the words concerning God that are in the Authorized Version Bible, okay, which things I point out. A lot of substance in this, a lot of substance, okay? Now, so the Gentiles are to be believing all things having to do with the glorious law of God. The Gentiles are to see to it that the things concerning God are what? Fulfilled. Become a reality. Okay. Now we have the Gentiles are described as being believing. Believing what? Believing the glorious law of God and fulfilling the components of that law. Okay, I've covered that, and I'm just about to wrap things up. But let me, before as I do, let me give five commandments, and the commandments are components of the glorious law of God. They are parts of the glorious law of God. Okay. 1 Corinthians 7:36 says this: Let him, God, do what he will. He sinneth not. That's 1 Corinthians 7:36. All right. And I just want to make sure it's the correct statement. Yeah. It's deep into verse 36. Let me read the full statement. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she passed the flower of her age and needs so require. Now here is the crucial statement. Let him, God, do what he will, he sinneth not. Now you notice one of the ways of God is that God does not try to make a whole, a complete verse correct or true. God points out things that are true. God points out things that are relevant. Okay? You have this word concerning God, let him do what he will, he sinneth not. There's another statement that says, there is no man that sinneth not. And no man we know is a nickname for God. So here again, let him do what he will, he sinneth not. There's another statement that says, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, that's for men. But the statement says, God does not sin. There's another statement that says, there is no man that sinneth not. And what we know about the no man phrase, we know that it is a noun. It is a nickname for God. There is no man that sinneth not. Now, you can say it serves two purposes. As far as men, we do not have men that sin not. Okay? But let me just take that back if I can and just stick with Scripture. There is no man that sinneth not. Okay? A man who does not sin is a man who keeps the law of God. Or woman. All right? But the crucial statement in 1 Corinthians 7:36 is, let him, God, do what he will, he sinneth not. That's a descriptive statement concerning God, saying he does not sin. God does not sin. All right. Now, John 13:27, and we read these words. And it's the last statement in John 13:27. The last statement. This statement is to the those of the Vatican, those of the papal office, and all of the Gentiles. It says, that thou doest, do quickly. All right? That thou doest, do quickly. And this statement is probably going to come up again in upcoming lectures, you know, where I'll actually speak more on that statement. But the Gentiles are commanded, that thou doest, do quickly. Because there are certain things that they are, the Vatican, or rather the papal office, those are the papal office, and the Gentiles have to do before God expires. So that's why they are commanded, that thou doest, do quickly. Because there are things that they must do during the lifetime of God on earth before he dies. Okay? Next commandment is found in Luke 10:4, which says, salute no man. Again, no man being a nickname given by the papacy for God. All right? And you know what salute means. You can look in a good dictionary and see what salute means. All right? And another commandment for Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Okay? And the fifth statement, the fifth commandment that I have for you today, Revelation 22:9, worship God. Revelation 22:9, worship God. So let me read them again, all of them. Worship God, fear God, and keep his commandments. Salute no man, no man being a nickname for God. That thou doest, do quickly. Let him, God, do what he will, he sinneth not. Okay, those are commandments to the papacy and all of the Gentiles. And that concludes my message. Oh, I need to do this. Let me turn back to the law of God. Not to the law of God, but to the call of God. Okay? Back to the call of God. To the unknown God, what is thy name? What is thy name? My name is T.L. Hart. I have given the Vatican, the papacy, my name, T.L. Hart. All right. And so the statement, I read the call again to the unknown God. God is now known. God has a name. God has a body. God has a face. God has a personality. The call to God. Now, hear my voice. What is your name? I have provided my name. We desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. Come thou and reign over us. Haste thee and come and help us. That's the call. And God has come. Okay? God has come. There's one more thing I would like to read. What has happened? They, in these statements here, the word they is a reference to those of the papacy. What has happened? They have called God. They expect God to come. God has come. They expect God to inform them of his coming. Okay? Five things. Did I read five or four? They have called God. They expect God to come. God has come. They expect God to inform them of his coming. And God is informing them. I have informed them not just today, but at other times as well on the program. But God is, as the scripture said today, God has granted them, God is granting the papacy that which they have requested. Okay? So it's very wonderful. What hast thou brought forth? That's the question, Isaiah 45:10. What hast thou brought forth? Today I have brought forth the call for God. I have brought forth the glorious law of God. Those are two very important things I have done today. Brought forth the papacy's call for God, and I brought forth the glorious law of God, and given other information having to do with the glorious law of God. So it's been a very good day, very good, very good information. The last passage, I believe is the last one, that I want to share with you today is found in Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8. And we find these words. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And verse 10, Isaiah 40, verse 10 says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. The first statement there, the Lord God will come with strong hand. The Lord, the one that they have called, those are the papers they have called, the Lord God in the Bible has come. I have come, I am here. I am informing those of the papal office of my coming and other Gentiles as well. The law is open. That's another crucial statement there. The law is open. Okay? And that's found in Acts 19:38. It's not the very last verse, and it's not the first verse. But in the statement, Acts 19:38, we have this statement, the law is open. Open means clear. Open means it's not covered. Open means in force, in effect, in operation. The law is open. The law of God, which I have read today, the glorious law of God is open. The glorious law of God is now in effect. The glorious law of God is in operation. The glorious law of God is clear, is not ambiguous, is easy to understand. I have provided you with information on it. The law of God is open. And Romans chapter 7, we have these words about the glorious law of God. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore, let's just, the crucial statement in Romans 7, 12 is this: the law is holy. Acts 19:38, the law is open, in effect, clear, unambiguous, operating. And here, Romans 7, 12, the law is holy. All right. Okay. I believe that is it. Get a good dictionary if you don't have one and look up the word holy. You'll also find in that definition the word sacred. Look those two terms up. The law of God is open. The law of God is holy. Okay. I may have lost. Anyway, this is it for today. Thanks for joining me. Work the links, get your downloads, order the, click on the PayPal link, center column Lawmaster page, click on the YouTube link, and visit our YouTube presentation. Okay? And I'm signing out. Join me again next Sunday. I believe the time, and hope the time will be 10 o'clock next Sunday morning for another broadcast of The Law of God. Join me then. Thank you.